I had been at the event for a couple hours. It was a really peaceful protest rally. Most of the people that were there were your typical protesters that you would see in Berkeley. A lot of older people. You know, there were some kids there. People had signs. This is not the group of people that you would call the Antifa or the Black Bloc. There were just people protesting against white supremacy, against Donald Trump, that type of thing. And that was it for most of the day. Sometime around, I guess, around maybe 1 or 2 o'clock, the Black Bloc showed up and they were in force. And they were dressed in all black, and it was a good chunk of them. I would still say there were more people at the rally than there were in the Black Bloc, but it was a good group of people. The Black Bloc slash Antifa, whatever you want to call them, they were not doing random acts of violence at all. They were protesting with everybody else. It was a pretty, I wouldn't say calm scene, because it was a little tense because they were there. But by all means, I don't want to paint all these people as they were just crazy, you know, burning stuff down and acting like a riot or something. It was not like that at all. At some point, Joey Gibson, the guy from Patriot Prayer who was trying to hold the rally in San Francisco on Saturday, showed up in Berkeley. And he came directly. I was standing right there. I watched him walk across Martin Luther King Street to the barriers in the Civic Center where the Black Bloc was kind of congregating at. And he just walked right up to him and he started, you know, trying to start a fight, like throwing his hands up, talking, you know, bad to people and really getting in their face, him and his other buddy. I believe there was a third guy with him. I'm not 100% sure they were together, but I'm pretty sure he was. And so, yeah, they were getting into it. And at some point, the Black Bloc began to go over the barricade, the small divider there, and kind of chase Joey. And while they were chasing him, they were throwing everything that they could at him, from water bottles to fruit to flagpoles, just trying to hit him.
Were they trying to hurt him?
Yeah, I mean, they were just trying to get rid of him. You know, they were trying to get him out of that area. But yeah, I think they absolutely wanted to hurt him. So he gets across the street and he finds police officers, him and his friend. But there were two guys who, or there was one guy who wasn't with them on the other side. So it looks like he got separated. I'm not sure if he was with them. I think he was, but he fell down or somebody tripped him. And then 5 or 6 people were on top of him and they were, you know, putting the beat down on him. And I saw someone pull out a flagpole and begin to bring it down and hit him with it. And when I watched that, it scared me. I thought, yeah, I can't, they're going to kill him, you know? So I just ran over and I was going to break up the fight, but then I realized there was no way I could break up the fight. So I just dived on top of him and kind of held him. And that was, yeah, how it all played out. Yeah, you know, the protesters who were attacking him, it felt like the minute I got on top of them, they were cognizant of what was going on and they kind of eased back. I mean, I got hit a couple times, but nothing hard. And I really felt like those guys, they really could have hurt me and they didn't. They didn't want to hurt me. So, you know, everything you see in the videos is pretty much how it happened.
And I hear that some other journalists were being attacked occasionally by people identifying as Antifa for trying to record what was happening for them.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You would have to talk to them. I didn't have that experience at all.
Because you were carrying a microphone,
yep.
Had headphones.
Totally.
It seems like you could be identified as a journalist and then protecting somebody who they were identifying as a right-wing protester. I mean, it's kind of 2-for-1,
yeah.
In a way, if you look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they I don't think that they were trying to get me at all.
Do you think that you being a black man had anything to do with the way in which they saw you getting on top of this guy?
Yeah, you know, people have asked me that, and I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I know that there was an African-American man near me. I don't know if he was a part of the fight, but he was near me. And this is like right after it was done. I was sitting on the pavement and the guy ran and there were people around me. I was still a little dazed at this point, you know, like the adrenaline is just pumping, you know.
No kidding.
And I hear this guy, and he's an African-American guy, and he's like, yo, take your stuff, because my recorder and stuff was out, and my glasses were thrown away. And I looked back at him, and I said, hey, that's my stuff. And he was like, oh, okay. And he just picked it up and handed it to me, and handed me my glasses as well. So, yeah, I don't know if that played a factor in it. It might have.
Do you remember ever having had an experience like this where your instinct took over to go protect somebody in that way?
No, but long before I got into public radio, I was trained as a flight attendant. I was a flight attendant for 10 years. And I still feel that flight attendant training in me. Like, it makes me click in to assess a situation and move in and act. Because flight attendants are there to save your butt. So please be nice to your flight attendant. So,
I appreciate that. Usually as a journalist, you're going just to monitor situations, but in this case, you became part of the situation. Have you thought about what that means, or did you think about that at all at the time?
Yeah, I didn't think about it at all. I did not even cross my mind. What crossed my mind is I didn't care who that guy was. I didn't care what his beliefs were. All I knew is that he was on the ground and he was hurt and he was a human being. And, you know, it just felt like it was important for me to do something, and I did it. And but yeah, I didn't think about the consequences or anything. I just saw another human being in need.
In retrospect, have you thought about that as far as becoming involved, whether or not you meant to or wanted to as a journalist?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the key is before I'm a journalist, I'm a human being, and I tend to think, you know, I have a standard that I try to live my life to. And, you know, sometimes I hit that standard. I'm a human being. Sometimes I hit it. Sometimes I fail miserably. But, you know, I try to, like, walk this certain path. And, you know, I think if given the chance again, I would probably do the same thing.
You know, we had a reporter named Daphne Matsuyaraki who ended up going on to become a documentary filmmaker, and she made a movie that was Oscar nominated, actually, called 4.1 Miles, chronicling the refugee crisis with people going from Turkey to Greece on boats, and many of them were dying and certainly becoming lost at sea. It's about a Coast Guard captain who's saving them. And she was telling a very similar story about, I mean, in a way, as far as being a human being first before a journalist, that she was chronicling the situation. But then there was so much need and so much suffering that she couldn't help herself at all but to become involved in a way that felt like the right thing to do. And it was a really powerful experience for her in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a we did a story on Reveal with about a French journalist who ended up smuggling people across the border who were in dire straits. And yeah, you know, I mean, that definitely played a big part too.
I remember that story. Yep. Yeah, that was really interesting. So what are your takeaways then from this experience of the latest battle between people in Berkeley?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that, like, the I've been thinking a lot about what it means as a journalist and not so much for the citizen side of it. I think as a journalist, like, it's our job to really wrap our heads around the nuance and to give that nuance to our listeners, which can be hard, because I think that the easy thing to do would just be to categorize everybody that was at the protest march as, you know, bad or Antifa. I think the quick, easy thing is to say that Antifa is bad and, you know, their tactics are wrong and all of this stuff. And I think that, you know, there's just more to the story that you have to find the nuance and really talk about it.
Well, I really appreciate your time, Al. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. It was really good to talk to you.